Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. We got the full crew here today: Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, who's still confused, and Scott Webb hanging out. Talking about the All-Star race. What were you going to say, Arnold?
I'm not confused. I'm just having fun.
Oh, that's what everybody says, yeah. And I would probably say that too. So, All-Star race this past week. Always fun for NASCAR to get their families and all the crews together over in Charlotte, North Carolina, and go at it for $1 million. And, man, you know, after the All-Star race, we've got a lot to talk about this afternoon, because there is three great races going on this weekend that I know a lot of people enjoy Sunday. If you like racing of any type, you will enjoy Sunday.
Listen, if you're a NASCAR fan or you're a racing fan at all, it's Christmas weekend. I mean, you got the three of the biggest races in auto racing take place back-to-back-to-back on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a ton of fun.
I guess fair to say on the Napo meter, brought to you by Mermaid Mattress, that it's going to be a...
Well, the Napo meter, it's going to be... It's in the low range, because the Indy race, which is generally in primetime nap, you know, in that nap range, has been pretty exciting the last couple of years. So that'll be... If it's, you know, if somebody's just running out front all day long, you know, then the nap factor can go up.
But
usually
not California or Vegas.
It's not that at all. So it should be pretty exciting. Plus, it's the 100th year. So looking forward to, you know, all the tradition, the pomp and circumstance of it, not only being the Indianapolis 500, but being the 100th year of the Indianapolis 500. Plus, for the early birds like Arnold, he'll get up and watch Grand Prix of Monaco. So
and I will be. I've already got it set.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go.
I'll be six o'clock the night before.
Yeah, I'll be catching the end of that race or the replay on that one. But
no, you'll be getting texts from Arnold about last year's race.
That's distinct possibility.
That'll be good. So we had an All-Star race this past weekend, and before the All-Star race, we had the shootout to get into the All-Star race. And unfortunately for Charlotte Motor Speedway, it was run in the day on Saturday. Fortunately for Arnold, it was run on Friday night, which was last year's race. As Arnold was vacationing down in Florida, he decided that he was going to start the texting deal with the race, and we were all wondering what in the world he was talking about, because we knew it was raining.
Well, listen, that
Noah
just...
was building the ark over in Charlotte, and Arnold was texting.
Listen, that should have just set the table for what was absolutely the most confusing weekend of racing I've witnessed in a long time. And it started with Arnold not realizing, or quote unquote, not realizing what's going on and what race is going on.
I knew that as soon as I saw Larry Mack announcing.
Yeah, you would think something would happen there.
Or maybe
that would
where it says,
that.
You know, previously recorded up in the corner there.
Or maybe
that's
when,
usually a dead giveaway.
When Jeff Gordon's not, you know, volunteering to get in the car and drive to try to get in the All-Star
Gordon's
race.
Not out there running.
You remember the Daytona 500 2 years ago when Dale Jr. and everybody sitting there congratulating Jimmy Johnson on a victory?
Right.
They were replaying the year before. It's pouring cats and dogs in Daytona, and it's sun shining bright, and they're replaying the previous year.
If Arnold was on the show then, he'd have probably been texting us, saying stuff about that too. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. So confusing, yes. I mean, we had a bunch of drivers that supposedly got together, ringleader being Brad Keselowski. I think he takes a lot of undue criticism because, you know, he kind of come up with it.
You know, I don't see the confusion there. I mean, really, it was cut and dry, guys. You think you got a pit, okay? Now, the confusion came into play when one driver of the number 20 car threw everything for out of whack. I mean, I don't see what the confusion was. Everybody had to come in, make a green flag pit stop. We know that.
Yeah.
That's easy. That's easy to follow. You know you got to do it.
The only thing is your strategy of when you come in to do it. And Matt Kenseth and his crew decided to do it virtually on the last lap and got called out by a caution flag.
I thought it was a pretty good format. I mean, just being honest with you, I thought it was a good format. NASCAR made the wrong calls, as we discussed off air before the show. But I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it mixed it up a little bit. I mean, you could tweak it here and there, but doing the same old stuff every single year, you know, gets a little bit old. I was surprised, though, that you had a couple of different winners, basically the heat races, and then two fan votes get in. That was kind of strange to me.
Yeah, the only reason, they did say, Jason, why they did that was because Jeff Gordon had qualified to be in the All-Star race because of what had happened.
Right.
So although his wife, and she put this out on Twitter, she begged him to drive in the All-Star race, which would have been a pretty cool deal. But he's committed to doing the TV stuff. So since he decided not to be in it, they opened it up and allowed an additional additional person to win a fan vote and get in. You know, the best race of the day was the race that happened at 11:30 when the shootout.
Yes.
There during the middle of the day, the track was slick. You got Trevor Bayne banging people.
Trevor Bayne is right.
Yeah. And you know, you have Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott. I mean, we had some good cars in that race, and you know, it was some pretty exciting stuff, and it really kind of set up. Then the truck race was pretty good, and as the night went along, the racing kind of struggled, although, you know, there was some pretty good runs there at the end with the 42 and the 22, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes.
Well, I think that, you know, with the confusing part, and yes, for us, we heard the rules, we knew the rules. It was crazy that the announcers were still kind of what's going to happen. I mean, the crews were what's going to happen. You know, you got to know going into that first segment when you have to make a green flag pit stop that you're taking the chance that if you don't come in early, then you're going to be in a mess. And I think that's what the 20 car and several other teams too had, you know, had the strategy of pitting late and trying to do it that way. And I think it was more of the two tires, we can get two instead of four, or we can get four instead of two and be a little better. But it just didn't seem to work out. I wrote some confusing things down because Arnold kind of started the weekend off with the confusing. I think I put it was as confusing as an Olympic athlete competing as Bruce and is now Caitlin. It is was as confusing as Danica Patrick thinking she can win a race. Never know. I'm going to say that. It was confusing as Steve Hartline playing Larry Green in tennis. Now, you don't know about that. I mean, there's a slight age difference there, and Hartline gets beat all the time. It was confusing as the ghost of Dale Earnhardt appearing at Bristol every year as a 110-pound drunk guy. Yep. I mean, Jason runs into that guy all the time.
Twice.
And for Scott, it's confusing.
And there's no correlation there, but
not at all.
Right.
Twice. it was as confusing as the TSSAA decision-making brass. Now, that was for...
Well, that's an oxymoron, is actually what that is. Decision-making brass is...
Shouldn't call them brass.
I think one of the best quotes
of
the whole trip.
I was going to say something.
You take a couple letters out there, you know.
I was going to say, that would something that rhymes with brass.
the best quote of the weekend was Dale Jr.'s. This is about as confused as me trying to fly my RC helicopter the first time.
I don't know. I kind of like Tony Stewart's.
Well, Tony Stewart was probably unpronounceable.
Right. Well, so was part of Dale Jr.'s, but I think Tony Stewart thought he might get fined with some of the stuff he said, too. But, all right, so crazy night, crazy, thing that's different. But, you know, I liked it. Like Jason said, it was different. I think that's what NASCAR needs to do is put something different out there. We talk about going to different tracks and running the All-Star Race. If you can't do the different tracks, mess with the format and make it different.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had this discussion for a long time. As much as we've talked about the schedule needing some tweaking, the All-Star race has definitely had some tweaking. We had Alex Hayden on a couple weeks ago, and he talked about that. You know, I think there's some things they can do. I think if we had maybe some heat races or some elimination parts to the event, that may make it a little more exciting, make the drivers a little... We saw it because there was parts of it, you know, in that second segment, we saw a little sandbagging because they didn't know... You know, Jimmy Johnson was just letting dudes pass him left and right because he was trying to, at that point in time, he was just trying to make sure he was in position to be, able to get in the draw there and not have to change tires and put himself back up front. So I think if there was an elimination factor to it, it could be fine. But the problem wasn't with the format. I think it was with the execution of the rules, and that's what got everybody confused.
It's true.
Lack of execution.
Yeah, well, I think you throw rules out there, though, and people are going to try their best. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson. We talked about Matt Kenseth. They're going to try to come up with a strategy to do that and to fix that. And that's the cool thing about it. You know what? If you have a strategy that doesn't work, you lose a lap. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, one of the things is, you know, I don't know how much we talked about it. I don't know if it's so much format, but guys, it's Charlotte. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a track where you can absolutely just sleep through a lot of it. And I think that's part of the problem with this All-Star race. Not so much formats. I think it's the track itself.
But is the powers that be, I know these guys like, they probably like having the All-Star race there.
It's
because
at home
because
for
it's
the track.
It gives them two full weeks to be at home where they're not bouncing all over the country to a race. So I think that's part of it. You know, and Bruton Smith, you know, they like to make that money, and it's I don't see him giving it up unless he moves it to a different track of his.
Yeah.
You know, that may be a possibility, but you know, I to me, moving it around with and changing it and putting it maybe on a short track, or like we've said in the past, moving it to one of these older tracks that are not part of the regular rotation. Let's put that baby at that high bank 3/4 mile, 7/8 mile Iowa Speedway and let them guys go out there and run on that thing. You know, the truck races and the Xfinity car races out there are terrific. So there's things they could do. Are they willing? You know, we see NASCAR make swift changes when it comes to rules and things like that. When it comes to dealing with sponsors and money, they tend to act a lot slower than they do with some things.
I'm all about what we talked about last week with Alex and moving it to a North Wilkesboro. Some of these struggling tracks that used to be on the circuit that are not on the circuit now that are hurting for money. I always said about the Cleveland Speedway, if you brought one big televised race there, you make enough money to where you could run that track for the year. If you do the same thing at a North Wilkesboro or at a, you know, what's it, Rockingham, you know, something like that, to where you get enough seats, and there's probably enough seats there anyway, and if not, make it a smaller crowd, you know, but a nationally televised event. You bring those guys in town, what it does for that economy is huge. And talking to Alex off air, you know, MRN, you can hardly pick up MRN in North Carolina now because there's no stations that pick it up because it's not, nobody's interested anymore because they've taken all the races away from their hometown. So put that back in there. They're still able to be close to home, but you're helping out the small guys. I knew my point would be met with silence.
Yes.
All right, so very good. All right, so I want to talk about Roush real quick. A pretty good showing from Roush this weekend with Trevor Bayne and with Greg Biffle. I know, Jason, we had the rule changes or whatever a little bit. You know, could it be that just Roush tried some new things in this, you know, format with the All-Star race to try to see what they had, or do you think they've kind of turned the corner or are turning the corner?
I'm not sold on them turning the corner. I think they are making better showings at these tracks. I mean, we even saw it at Talladega. And Talladega's an anomaly, but, you know, Trevor Bayne was running up front for a lot of that race. I don't think they've turned the corner at this point, but I do think they are a little bit more competitive than what we've seen over the past few years.
Right. Arnold, what do you think?
They haven't turned the corner yet, but they're making gains on that corner. They're getting closer. They're figuring out some of the things they need to be doing. I think Jack Roush made the comment last year during the interview that at some point they took off in the wrong direction. They had to back up and go back and reinvent everything. So I think they're finally starting to make gains in that area.
Got to know their motors are good, though, Scott. I mean,
yeah, the motors are fine. They're getting better. They're getting more competitive. You can see that week in and week out. Same thing, another organization that I think has really kind of turned the corner of late is Ganassi. Yeah. I mean, you've seen Larson be really fast the last couple weeks.
If he can keep it off the wall,
that's fine. You know, that's, I mean, part of that is him still maturing as a driver. But he reminds me of a young Kyle Busch. All the talent in the world, now he's just got to figure out how to win races. And once he does, I mean, one of the things, and they mentioned this in the broadcast, is that they're building their own cars now. And they're starting to be they're a lot more hands on and have more of a feel that they're building their own stuff now, so they have more say on what is actually going into the car and how they're setting the car up, and it's starting to show. You're starting to see some real improvement from that team. You know, can Roush continue to make strides? Sure. Is it going to be enough to is this more of a look towards the future in 2017, and this could be a stepping stone in that direction. As we're starting to see, you know, Bayne was really fast in that. Now, again, not the top drivers weren't in that shootout, you know, race, but you know, we are seeing improvement. Is it the type of improvement that's going to win races? There's still just a handful of cars that are capable of winning week in and week out.
And breaking news, your NASCAR Hall of Fame has just been announced. It is Benny Parsons,
hey,
Rick Hendrick, Mark Martin, Raymond Parks, and Richard Childress.
Wow.
Your 5 inductees for the 2017 NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Two current owners.
Yeah, I have no problem with any of those.
No. Good picks.
Yeah, you know, and Mark Martin, Benny Parsons and Mark Martin are kind of in the same boat. Not a lot of wins with Benny Parsons. Well, they did have one championship. Mark didn't get a championship.
Right, and you got to remember, too, that Parsons is – not only was he the series champion, but he has – what he did in the broadcast booth was almost equal as important. I think, you know, he's one of the few in auto racing that has won an Emmy. So what he did in the broadcast booth is just as equally as important as what he did behind the wheel.
Let's break those down next segment. We'll do that, and let's talk about first the winner. Joey Logano wins a cool $1 million, which I'm sure he was pretty happy about. His burnout sure showed that he was pretty happy, which is a pretty good burnout for late on a Saturday night. So let's hear what Joey had to say, courtesy of Fox Sports.
Confetti is flying, Coke is flying, beer. It's midnight. It has been a long day, a full moon, sixth attempt at this, and you finally get your all-star race win. Where did you come from at the end? All of a sudden, you came out of nowhere, and it looked like the 42 just couldn't hang on.
This Shell Penzo Ford was faster when we unloaded. We never showed our full potential the whole race. It seemed like caution kind of came out at the wrong time. We lost a little track position. We had a couple bad restarts, and eventually had a good restart and was able to get up towards the front and able to race with Kyle. And what a fun race. He was going to run me hard. I knew that, and I had to run him hard. Nothing to lose. It's for $1 million. Burnt her down at the end of this thing, and wheels up, obviously, Coca-Cola. This is a race you always want to have on your resume. It's just so special to say you won the All-Star race. It's even special just to be in the race. I've missed this race a few times, and just so cool. It's nice to break through and get a win. I know it's not for points, but it's a nice momentum builder going into the Coca-Cola 600.
You had a lot of downtime today with all this rain. Some time, perhaps, to think about what you're going to do with $1 million. What are you going to do?
No clue. Probably give most of it away, but this is definitely one of the most special wins. Charlotte's always a fun place to win because it's your home. Well, it's a home track for everybody. We all live around here, and it's what makes it special to win here. And last time we were here, and we won the race, and it's back in victory lane at the next race. So we got to get that 600-mile race next.
Scott and I have a couple of good places that those can go, called the Refuge and Walker Valley Media Center.
Joey Logano's looking for some places to spend that $1 million.
We'll take $500K apiece.
Yeah, I'll take 500, period.
I'm going 500K. I'm asking for big and letting him bring it down. So Joey Logano gets the win. Great race, great win for him. And one thing I noticed before we go to break is they changed rules, and Toyotas were not really evident at the front
as
of the
dominant
field.
As it's things that make you go
Yeah, Alex broke that
news
last week.
But it's not indicative of a real race.
That's a big word you use there, Jay.
It's not. You're looking at this week's going to be a 600-miler. It's not a run 50, run 50, run 13. It's in for the long haul this week.
So we'll see how it goes this week. Of course, they're not going to do the rule change this week, so we'll go back to
We'll probably have Toyotas out, all five of them be out there lapping the field.
It'll be all of
Joe. And they can get lapped at Charlotte for sure.
Yeah, so that'll be big. So fun weekend coming up, and great race with the All-Star race. A lot of fun watching that Saturday night, and if you're Arnold, watching it on Friday night.
Two nights of it.
Yeah, you got two nights in a row, so it's good. All right, when we come back, we'll break down the five people voted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. We'll also give you some news on Kevin Harvick. Maybe he's going to a Ford. Maybe he's going to a Chevrolet. Find out when we come back. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air. Make sure old man winter didn't take his toll. and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
NMLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, and Scott Webb spinning the tunes and flipping the switches over there. You didn't get enough credit, Scott. You don't get enough credit at all for
Thanks.
Everything that you do. I mean, you had a rough day today.
I did have a rough day.
Golf tournament?
Did have to play golf today.
Yeah.
Played with Walker Valley head football coach Glenn Ryan, my good friend and Sports Zone co-host.
I bet y'all had some interesting
Borders,
conversations.
And Jack Daniels. Literally played golf with a guy named Jack Daniels today.
Tell the truth.
I did. Not Jason's Jack Daniels.
Jason doesn't drink.
No.
Arnold's Jack Daniels, evidently on Friday night. So yeah,
I don't know.
Please call back.
So, Arnold, I told you the other night I'm not going to let you live it down the whole show. So, all right, NASCAR Hall of Fame. I think this is probably what their third class, fourth class, maybe.
Or the eighth class.
Maybe if I read the blinking screen in front
of me. Listen, I can't help the blinking screen right now, but it is the eighth class.
Well, at least I gave you credit and then said but and then the blinking screen. So the eighth class of the Hall of Fame, again, five members go in every year. So it's evident now, after this year, they will have 40, and that does really well math-wise. 8 times 5. Jason's thinking about correcting my math. But so 40 will be in. The five that was picked this time. All right, guys, we got two current car owners now. One drove some. One didn't drive at all. Richard Childress. Now he's a car owner. You don't think about it much. But it's probably fair to say that Dale Earnhardt put Richard Childress in the Hall of Fame.
Fair statement.
Fair. But then,
yeah, I mean, are you looking for total agreement here? Because yes,
I mean,
he's looking for a consensus.
Yes,
had majority.
Majority's good. Yes, Dale Earnhardt did put. I mean, Richard Childress has been, he's been one of the top owners, and I mean, he did drive a race car for a period of time. So,
but championships without Earnhardt.
I mean, those two were the
Mike Skinner ain't getting in anymore.
No.
Here's my thing about this though. We've got 35 in now, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you to get to your 40, you've got one recent retiree in Mark Martin. You've got Benny Parsons, who was in the booth for a while, died, 3 or 4 years ago. Raymond Parks, which is the first champion. Why are we already getting to current people? Is there not enough people in NASCAR through the years to fill up 50, 55, 60 spots before you get to, the people that are current today?
Well, I think you look back and you compare it to like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and you do see folks that have recently retired in first ballots, and I think that's, just par for the course.
But don't they have to wait a certain amount of time before
they
do
have to wait, what is it, four or five years?
I think. Mm-hmm.
Maybe 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's my question is, we've got Mark Martin who retired last year, the year before last, Rick Hendricks. And I guess it's probably different for the owners in this, deal because an owner could go
right,
until
because,
they're 90
years old. I mean, when are you going to wait to put Rick Hendrick in the Hall of Fame until, 80 years old and out of the sport? I mean, the guy he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no question the amount of cars that have won championships under his umbrella. Why wait? I don't have any problem with it. Him or Childress, both those guys are still very important to the sport, but they've also have the resume that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
And I guess it's kind of like pro baseball. I mean, you think in pro baseball, there's usually an average, batting average that will get you in. And Mark Martin.
You never know with those guys.
Yeah.
And Mark Martin's got 96 wins, but in those 96 wins, the majority of them came in what's now the Xfinity Series and Busch Series nationwide, and you keep going. But, I mean, I guess that's the thing is you know, he doesn't have – I think he's got 30, 40 wins maybe in Sprint Cup. I mean, what gets him in?
I don't know. I think everything in here is, you know, always subject, you know, to it's all subjective. Everything is. And I don't know I have no answer for it.
Well, I mean, if you look at some of the people that were on the list, you know, to be voted on, you had Ray Ebraham. I mean, you could really kind of compare him to Richard Childress without the longevity. But, I mean, he did start Dodge and brought Dodge back into the, you know, the series and was the owner, but also won four championships with Jeff Gordon. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot saying there that he could be compared to, you know, a Mark Martin as far as what he accomplished. I mean, maybe not the longevity, like I said, but Ron Hornaday Jr., he's another guy. Did he ever race really in the Sprint Cup Series?
But let me turn the tables and ask you this question. Does it have to be – I mean, NASCAR is not just the Sprint Cup Series. It's not just that series. I mean, they have three national series. So is it just a Hall of Fame for just the guys that ran in the top series, or was there guys, you know, like Hornaday Jr., you know, he's a multiple-time past champion in the Truck Series. Why shouldn't he be involved in a Hall of Fame if the Hall of Fame is for all of NASCAR?
But the only thing about that, to kind of rebut that, is how many people out of the 45 that have been in there now, or the whatever it is, the 35 that have been in there now, came from the Busch Series and never really raced in you know, Sprint Cup.
Well, it doesn't matter whether they raced in Sprint Cup or not. To me, is if a guy has been dominant in one of your national touring series, he deserves, like, Kyle Busch, just from his Xfinity Series record, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, regardless of what happens in his NASCAR, whatever the sponsor, NASCAR, in his Sprint Cup, or whatever
National
the sponsor,
Auto
yeah,
Stock
whatever.
Cup.
If whatever that series ends up being called, he still deserves to be in just on the amount of wins he has in the Xfinity Series. So I don't see where your beef is. It's not just
who said I had a beef?
Well,
did
I mean, you're the one that's you're the one that's going, you know, you're the one that
you sound like a school teacher.
Yeah, There was a beef there.
Thanks, Jason, for having me.
It's almost like it's like, you know, you got to exclude the Xfinity guys and the truck guys. But NASCAR is just that overall sanctioning body, and everything is encompassed with that, whether it be the truck.
So let me ask you this, though.
Isn't there a driver in from one of the modified series now? Or wasn't?
You're the historian. You're supposed to know that.
That I don't know.
I was trying to remember.
I guess my thing is it's not that what makes the money. All right. So we know what makes the money and what's the popularity is going to be the Sprint Cup. All right. Because I get a picture of Buddy Baker popping up on my screen.
Well, these are nominees.
But think about it this way, though. The College Football Hall of Fame. Eddie Robinson from Grambling's in there, even though it wasn't D1, he's still in there. You know, I mean, there's because it is NCAA football. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, I was trying to come back with something. I don't think I'm going to be able
to.
But I think
you got nothing. Yeah. I'm just telling you, you got nothing. But quick game here. Who out on the circuit right now makes it in?
I mean, I think there's several things you can look at. If you think Dale Earnhardt Jr. has not won a lot of races, has not won a championship, but how much popularity did he bring to the sport? You know, you've got Jack Roush in this list.
He'll be in there.
Roush, to me, before Rick Kendrick should be in there, Jack Roush should be in there too. Now, hasn't won a lot, you know, as far as championships and stuff like that. But
it may be more difficult for owners without the championships to get in as versus a driver.
But he created a whole, you know, part base for Ford. I mean, I think that's the thing that you look at with some of these guys is go deeper than just what they've done on the track or what they do on the track, but what impact did they have on the sport? Take Benny Parsons, for instance. One of the first drivers really to come out of the car and go straight into the booth and be successful at both. That's a huge impact for the sport. Ken Squire, who was on this list or whatever, he had brought, you know, really NASCAR to radio and television and did a fantastic job with that. So, you know, when I look at the five that's in, you know, I think about, yes, Rick Kendrick has brought a ton of, you know, success to the sport. He's brought a lot as far as, you know, team owners and everything else. but I can't really say that much for Richard Childress.
The guy won 11. He's won 11
great
championships.
That's good, but he didn't win them.
He was the car owner
of one car.
He was the one that was writing the checks. I mean, that's. I mean,
I'd say put Harry Hyde in before you put.
Car owners are a big deal in this sport because they're the ones that group together, that pay the bills, that get the sponsorship, that allow these guys to go out. So they're like the general man. Think of it as like the general manager in pro sports and stick and ball sports. You have general managers, you have coaches, which are your crew chiefs, and then you have the players or the drivers.
How many general managers are in the NFL Hall of Fame?
I would say there's probably more than you think. I think that
trying to think of who.
Well, I mean, just because the name doesn't ring true right off the top of your head doesn't mean that we can't pull up a list and see how many GMs and are in those sports Hall of Fames, because those guys make a difference.
The thing of it is, Richard Childress was a driver owner. He built something from the ground up. And, yeah, he won most of his championships through Dale Earnhardt driving. But he had to build the organization. He actually had Dale Earnhardt drive for a year and then let Dale go because he didn't have the organization to support Dale Earnhardt's caliber of talent. And then they agreed that whenever they got the organization built up, Dale would come back, and he did. And that's when they started winning the championships. But he built a whole lot, and as an owner, he took it from the Lee Petty, Richard Petty, early success and transitioned it to what Rick Hendricks has built off
right.
of that same thing. He transitioned to the big organizations probably more so than any other of the owners at that time.
I get it. I mean,
no, you don't.
Well, I do. I mean, you know, part of me is just wanting to. This is something that we don't discuss. We don't discuss the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and the fear is for me.
It's still in its infancy, and this is not an organization that's been around for 100 years either.
But the fear is for me, though, is that they go and they start putting people in just to fill a class. And you know, there's plenty of people out there, you know, that ran and did it the difficult way. You know, without this money that they have now. And stuff like that, without the TV, without, you know, the radio, and they go and they got it done. And my fear is those people are not going to be recognized because of the people that we have now. And it seems like they're not going back to get those people.
But I think that rings true with every sports Hall of Fame. I mean, you don't really credit the guys that wore the leather helmets, you know. I mean, it's you know, guys now that we see on TV when we see it's the popularity has grown.
But then does that make – and so does that bring up a point to where if you went back and got the guys that wore the leather helmets, it wouldn't be as popular, it wouldn't be as viewed, people wouldn't show up to it. But yet if you're putting the guys in that's made money for the sport over the years, that's going to bring the fans to the Hall of Fames to support them and keep it open. Because let's face it, NASCAR Hall of Fame is struggling financially. I mean, they had to get a loan from Bank of America in order to be able to continue or restructure their loan in order to be able to keep moving forward. So that could have an impact on who they pick and you know, so they could get some people there.
Well, I think they're also looking at the idea that not only do you want to recognize the older generation, most of the people that's doing the fan votes today don't know a lot of these older drivers, older mechanics, older owners, except for some of us that are a little bit older and followed it a little bit longer and recognize the names.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And, I mean, congratulations, Richard Childress, Rick Hendrick, Mark Martin, Raymond Parks. Don't know that I ever heard that name before, so that would be somebody, if he was the only one there.
He's
I don't know
car owner.
There. So, his car owner, I can't, my screen's blinking there. Get the rest
Listen,
of
I can't help it. There's nothing I can do about the blinking screen
so
right now.
So, he was the first champion in car owner. So, really, you have three car owners that are going in this time, and then Benny Parsons,
I think,
of course.
Richard Childress should have been a first ballot. I think he should have been in the first time with Earnhardt. But
that's just me. So again, going back, I mean, wouldn't you say the same about Rick Hendrick?
You could.
Good. Darrell Waltrip,
you could.
You know. So
I mean, there's nobody in this room that doubts that when they get ready to nominate Jimmy Johnson, he's going to be in the NASCAR.
And Chad
Knaus. Yes, I mean, they're going straight to the Hall of Fame.
First ballot, baby.
When they and I don't know the exact.
And who says Dale Earnhardt Jr. doesn't get in the same time? with less accomplishment.
I don't know. Has Junior had a Hall of Fame career?
Less credentials than what we've seen people voted in.
Right. I'll say this, as much as I like Dale Jr., I really don't see him getting in the Hall of Fame unless something changes between now and the end of his career. He's a good driver, and he's done very well, and he's been a good spokesman.
And he means
a lot for
the sport.
Mm-hmm. But is it a Hall of Fame career? Right now, I can't say that it is.
I mean, just look at some of the guys that are on this list, you know, that didn't make it in this time that are past drivers. You know, Ricky Rudd. I mean, he's probably comparable to a Ricky Rudd in terms of the amount of wins. I think Junior
sells a lot more merchandise.
Right. Yeah. You know, but if he gets in, it's going to be more on what he meant to the sport outside the sport, not necessarily on what happened on the racetrack. I mean, but he's still got time. You know, you could see an evolution of what he does. He could be a car owner at some point. There's a lot of things that could lead to being. But if you're just looking at strictly driving credentials, you know, you could make an argument because we're seeing guys nominated that may not have as strong credentials as him. I mean, he's won. Yeah. I mean, how many times has he won the 500? Is he a two-time winner at the 500?
Look at the difference, though, between him and Mark Martin if you compared it. No championship for Mark Martin, won 96 races. Dale Jr. has been a Busch Series champion and then, you know, has finished second and third numerous times, you know, in the championship for the Winston Cup and then Sprint Cup.
But at the highest level, now we tell the highest level, Martin's won 40 times.
Right.
That's a whole lot more than Dale Jr. has.
Yeah. How many has he got?
We'll look that up in the break.
20-some-odd races, I think.
We do need to go to break. That was a great discussion. So I will say...
Heated. Yeah. It was a little tense in here.
There's no heated. So maybe not from me. Scott's face was getting red.
Yeah. Well, no, the red on my face is from being in the sun all day.
That's true, playing golf with Jack Daniels. All right, so when we come back, we will tell you about where Harvick's going. And we'll also talk about the Coca-Cola 600. And then we'll eventually get to power rankings. And Jason.
26 wins for Dale Earnhardt Jr.
26 wins. So still got time to get not that many. Doubt that.
I'd like to get 27th under his belt.
So you're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll. And your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. It was a jungle this past Saturday for a couple of people, but not for Joey Logano, who won $1 million that he's going to donate.
A cool $1 million.
To the Walker Valley Media Center and to the Refuge in Cleveland, Tennessee.
That'd be great.
Yep, we'll take it.
I'd be all for that.
So that means I get $999,950 because you only want 50.
What? I said 500.
$500.
I'll take 50.
We'll 50 more than you have right now, right?
It is 50 more than I have right now.
That'll buy a computer screen, right? So
maybe something that'll keep the monitors from blinking so it won't, I know your ADD kicks in and you just can't.
It does for sure. Jason and I are over here having a difficult time.
I'm good.
Well, Jason's got his phone. My phone, for some reason, Sprint does not pick up at Walker Valley High School. I've got a... Maybe they can fix
that.
That's
why I have a Sprint and a Verizon phone.
Hey, just in case.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, fellas.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Kevin Harvick for a minute. Made the announcement. Scott, let's tell us where Kevin Harvick is going.
Nowhere.
Okay.
He's going nowhere. He's going to stay. He signed a long-term extension to stay with Stuart Haas Racing. And he'll be in a Ford next year, which that was a lot of what the speculation was about. It even got so much, the rumor mill even got so there was so much information flowing out there, bad information, that he actually went and talked to Casey Kane, because that's been the big rumor that he was going to move over and take the 5 car next year. And he actually went to Casey Kane and said, look, man, that's not going to happen. I'm staying put. And ultimately he did sign a long-term extension, going to be at Stuart Haas for a long time, and that's a team that, we'll see how that transition works next year. But, if we're wanting to see a little more balance in terms of good race cars and car makers, that could be a big move for Ford, pulling that organization in. You're getting talented drivers like him. Clint Bowyer moves there next year to take over for Tony Stewart. You got Kurt Busch, who's been very competitive this year. So it's a good move for Ford and a good move for Tony Stewart, keeping him around.
Well, you left off one driver down there.
No, I didn't. I didn't leave her off. Okay.
They don't drive.
She drives.
Into the wall. So, yeah, I mean, she gets hit in the rear a lot. And it's kind of one of those things to me is this is kind of monumental, really, if you think about it, because from time to time we've had drivers that have switched manufacturers, and most of the time been single drivers that have went and joined another team and done that. But this time you've got 4 drivers that are basically changing from another manufacturer to Ford. So in one big switch, I mean, the last time you could really think of that might be Penske or Everham when they went into the Dodges. But those were basically 2 apiece. There weren't, 4 drivers going over. So it's going to be big for Ford. I think Ford's time to either, put up or shut up.
How many did Gibbs switch? Was it 3 or 4 when they went from Chevrolet to
Toyota?
There
was 3 because they were on a 3-car team forever until Kenseth jumped on board.
Kenseth jumped in from, I wonder if the days and age of, the manufacturer loyalty's gone down somewhat, which is what we used to see.
There's some big contracts, though.
I would say it's more not necessarily loyalty. I think it's more money-driven now.
Yeah.
So, just like... anything else in the sport, it's who's paying.
Just like the NBA putting sponsorship logos on jerseys in 2 years.
Yeah,
it's money.
That'd be good. You'll see the Finish Line on somebody, I'm sure. We'll make that happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you
want free,
or you can sponsor something on this show.
76ers is already taken, and the worst team in the league.
That's what we need to do is find us a D League team, and we'll throw it on there and get it done. So, all right, Coca-Cola 600 coming up this week. Going to be a long race. I know Scott and I think, Jason, you've been to one. Arnold, Jason hadn't been to one. Well, all right, so Scott and I have been to the 600 before. Really long race when you're down there. It's hot.
Yeah, I saw Hall of Famer Mark Martin win.
Mark Martin. He won. I think I saw Casey Kane win down there. It was
that's a long time ago.
2002 is when I went.
Yeah, so it is a long race. It's a very slick track. Big adjustments, guys. I mean, you really have to – set up your car for either the first half of the race or the second half of the race, because it starts in the day and then goes into the night.
Yeah, we've seen that thing get slick at night. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year. I enjoy watching it because it's such a long race. You can do a lot of cooking and things like that in between and still catch a majority of it. I really enjoy it, even though I'm not a big Charlotte track fan. I still enjoy watching that just because of how long it lasts.
Arnold, how do you... how do you set your car up to where, I mean, I know you want to stay up front. You don't want to lose a bunch of time, you know, as far as it, setting it up for you. I guess the end result is you want to have a car that runs really good when the sun goes down.
Right.
But you don't want to get so far behind when the sun's up, you know, to take you out of that position. So what do you do?
You build in a lot of adjustability. You have to be able to adjust a whole lot. But I've heard several crew chiefs talk to their drivers in the early part of the races, hey, this is – it's the track's going to come to you. You just got to survive this period of time till it gets dark. It's set it up for the end of the race, but do the best you can early in the race.
And Scott, well, I'll get to your point there, but fuel mileage too plays
right.
A big role.
Fuel mileage plays a big mm-hmm. role in this. You know, this one is really one of my favorite races because you see a lot of different cars, because you'll see cars that hit something early that take off that are super fast, and then 300 laps later they're struggling to stay on the lead lap. So we'll see a lot of comers and goers this week, so it'll be exciting in terms of what teams are able to be consistent enough early to stay around and give themselves, because this is a very track position dependent track. I know that's a lot. That's track saying. That's me saying track twice. That is a lot of tracks there. But it is. It's the guy. You know, this is one of those. And I hate that I'm going to air quote on radio, but this is one of those clean air tracks. If you can be out front in clean air, you usually have a better opportunity to stay up front. So it's hard. It is hard to pass. You know, Junior talked about this on a show that I listen to that I'm not going to mention. But he talked about the wear of the track is not, you know, they repaved it. It's been 10, 15 years ago they repaved it. But it's not really wore like they had hoped it would have. So the track still has a lot of grip in it. The tire fall off is not as great as they've seen at some of these tracks. So tires may not be as much of an issue as some of these other tracks. But it'll still definitely play a role. So it's important to be up front and put yourself in position to stay there. And it's, you know, and Arnold hit the nail on the head. It's adjustability in these cars. If you do not have the ability to make adjustments because of the dramatic amount of changes that's going to happen. Plus there's rain in the forecast potentially Sunday night. So you've got to be able to, you know, we may see, you know, the stupid factor may hit us this week because of if there is rain in the forecast.
Another Talladega, baby.
As this thing gets closer to halfway and becomes, you know, starts to transition in the evening to night racing, we may see some stupidity out there and it could get a little crazy.
Stay away from the cables for the camera.
Let's not have any. Yes.
You know, Bush has never won there. And he was really, really looking good that race too, about sold his car in half.
Yeah, that's what happens when you start bringing new technology, what you think is new technology, to the track.
Well, we just want, you know, technology's great. We just want, you know, we don't want
safe technology.
Safe technology would be even better.
It's still, you know, forecast right now based on latest data is a chance of shower Sunday night, but still looks mostly dry.
Yeah, so it should be good. And, you know, it always brings a little interesting fact to the race when the rain's coming, but that thing goes late. So if you have any kind of rain delay, you're looking 1-2 o'clock in the morning, which is a late night for everybody. Thankfully, we've got Memorial Day after that. So,
and thankfully, Air Titan.
Exactly, Air Titan too. All right, Scott, let's go to the Chase Grid powered by College Press. Make sure you go to College Press for all your printing needs. They print it and mail it, so you don't have to. Chase Grid, Scott Webb.
Well, we're going to look at the standings one more time, and I will go through the current grid here in just a moment. Kevin Harvick, still your overall points leader. Kyle Busch is second. Kurt Busch is third. Carl Edwards, fourth. Jimmy Johnson, fifth. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Chase Elliott, seventh. Wow. Who would have thought that? I guess, you know, a lot of people thought the kid had talent. He's proving it week in and week out. Joey Logano, 8th. Martin Truex Jr., 9th. Austin Dillon, 10th. Dale Earnhardt Jr., 11th. Matt Kenseth, 12th. Denny Hamlin, 13th. Jimmy McMurray, 14th. Ryan Blaney, 15th. And if the chase started today, A.J. Allmendinger would be in the chase. Ryan Newman, Trevor Bayne, just outside, about 5 points back.
That is your chase grid. Brought to you by College Press. They print it and mail it, so you don't have to. Make sure you go to www.cplitho.com. Dale.com. And yes, I finally have that memorized to where I can say it correctly. All right, well, we're going to skip the break and go straight into to our power rankings and race picks for Charlotte and the 600. So, as usual, I'll go first. The 18 of Kyle Busch up front, or the 75 if you watched it this past weekend, celebrating 75 years of Toyota. And then the 4 of Kevin Harvick, 78 of Martin Truex, the 20 of Matt Kenseth, and the 48 is making an appearance again back in power rankings. I see I've got him in the 5th spot. I would be foolish not to pick the number 4 Busch Beers car of Kevin Harvick to win at Charlotte.
Well, I've got mine as in the first position, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick in second, Carl Edwards third, little typo there, Brad Keselowski fourth, Jimmy Johnson fifth, and my winner this weekend, I'd be foolish not to pick him, a guy's never won at Charlotte, I'm going Kyle Busch.
I like it.
Kyle Busch.
Oh, my first place car is Kyle Busch. How can you not pick
him? Are these last year's power rankings?
Yeah, they're these last year's power rankings. The 19 of Carl Edwards. The
is
4
Jeff Gordon
of
in
Kevin
this thing?
Harvick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The 24 of Chase Elliott.
Oh, Chase Elliott.
The 22 of Joey Logano. And I'm going out there with a young man that showed a little something this weekend. The 42 of
like
Kyle
it.
Larson.
I like it.
That is that's a strong. You know, the
I
thing
like
is, he is really a great. You know how he used to say that Kyle Busch was always fast, but he kept wrecking cars, and then he had to figure out how to be fast and not wreck cars. And that's kind of where he's at. When you said 22, and going back to the fact that you watch a lot of last year's stuff, it took me back to Hutch Strickland in the 22 car.
That's hitting the way back machine, isn't it?
That's a lot from last Strickland. Year.
My brother's pizza, I believe.
Just like everybody else, I have Kyle Busch on top of the power rankings this week. Carl Edwards in second, Kevin Harvick third. Brad Keselowski, I like what the two car's been doing. I like him so much he may be my race pick here in just a moment. And in the 5th spot, I will take Martin Truex Jr. Look for them to rebound and have another strong week. We'll see. It'd be interesting. I think one of the things I'm really watching for this week is to see what the Toyotas did. They were not as strong in the All-Star race. Now, that could have been just format and positioning and track position and all that, but I want to see
pit strategy
or lack of pitting. We'll see how all that works out, but I'm interested to see if we've caught on to some things and if we're going to start to see that balance out a little bit more. But I did take as my race winner this week Brad Keselowski in the 2 car.
Whoever wins, we know they will be in for a long night to get there, and it is definitely a long race. So make sure you tune in Sunday night to 101.3 The Buzz.
Full day. We're gonna recap all the racing. Arnold's going to break down Monaco next week.
Yeah.
I'll break down Indy.
Exactly. We'll get that taken care of. But make sure you go to MRN Radio at 101.3 on Sunday night to listen to the race. Scott, we've got Fast Talk coming up.
Do you have Fast Talk today. They are at the Speedway Club at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Doug Rice, guest co-host was Kyle Petty. Justin Allgaier, they had retired U.S. Army General Chuck Swornack, and Charlotte Motor Speedway's Don Hawk. That's coming up next on Fast Talk.
That's a lot of wild last names there. Allgaier, Swornack.
And I only butchered like Hawk. 2 of them, so I was pretty proud of myself.
So it is good. All right, thanks for listening, guys. It's been another edition of The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.